You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
He's coming to us live from Tamaki Makaurau. It is hip-hop artist Mellow Downs. We're here to talk to him about his new EP, Mellow and Bass. Atamariye, Mellow. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you, bro? By the way, bro, loving that t-shirt, the Kill Bill t-shirt.
Oh, cheers, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very
tough,
much.
That's tough.
Honestly, op shops, that's the best.
That's an op shop top?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's what's up.
Do you enjoy going to op shops?
Oh, man, all the time. So I go to the Salvies, I go to the Save Marts, but you can find the gyms there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've never been to Auckland for an extended amount of time, so I have no idea what it's like up there, but I want to know, where's the best area for secondhand shopping?
Man, just like between us, bro, it's like usually the rural, like Salvation Armies or like charity stores, you know what I mean? You can, I don't know, it's like it's almost like a bunch of like fashionable rich people find like the most secluded secondhand store and just drop off all the gems, because like I think the last top that I got, like I got like a like two brand new polos, and it's like the old ladies don't really know how to price them too, so they like, I was like, yo, how much is this? And it's full real, had like almost had the tag on it type thing, and it's like $20 for like a $150 polo, you know what I mean? And this was in Helensville, which is like way out west, so yeah.
Okay, well, when I come to Auckland at some point, I'll have to go out there and get some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, a friend of mine got a pair of shoes that were Tabby and Salomon. It was a collaboration between those brands, and they were like $400 shoes, but they got them for like $30 from an op shop. It's ridiculous. It's great.
That's what I'm saying, bro. The gyms is where it's at. And the thing is, like, when you buy shoes from like Foot Locker or like JD Sports, it's the same colorway, so you see the same people with the same colorway, but when you find like one of one pieces from these secondhand stores, bro, it's like literally one of one.
Totally agree, man. Totally agree. Last time we spoke in May, you were about to go to an Indigenous Music Summit over in ye olde Canada. What were some of the biggest takeaways from that experience?
I was so out the loop with Toronto and Vancouver, and like, they're really, those guys are really on. Like, the whole culture over there is mean, and, yeah, I loved it. And also, because I was part of that Indigenous Music Summit, there was just like all like Indigenous people from all over the globe, creators from all over the world. Like, there was like Indigenous people from Ecuador, from Australia, from like, where else? Like Cherokee people, like Mohawk people from Indigenous Canada. So like, it was cool to be able to come and just like have this one thing in common with everyone, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was really, really eye-opening as well, and just like really embraced it. Yeah,
man, a lot of aroha, I imagine.
Yeah, man, a lot of it. Yeah, for sure.
Not to speak ill of Canada, but what did you think of some of the Toronto slang? Because I've seen videos of it. It's quite insane.
Like, it's funny, man. It's because like, I don't know, because yeah, there's a lot of like, because there's a lot of Jamaicans and Somalians over there too. So they've like, it's almost the patois has mixed with like the Somali culture, but then the Canadian slang too. So I met a lot of guys. They it's like the pitch of their voice goes up then down then up then down, and then like, but yeah, I met this guy who's part of a Colombian cartel, and he ended up taking me and the bro out, and we thought we were in danger.
Oh my God.
Like, wait, this is too good to be true, because they were shouting us everywhere, and like, wait, this guy was like, welcome home, papi, and we're like, I don't know if this is right, but they own tow trucks, and 70% of Toronto's fatalities are tow truck related, apparently. And we're sitting in this guy's tow truck. It was like a big ass Ram, and he was like, oh, this is not my area, by the way. And I was like, oh, yo. And apparently they have shootouts with, like, if you go into another tow truck territory, because they're all privately owned. And so one car you tow is worth like $3,000 to $4,000 Canadian. So like, if you pull up to like a territory and you tow a car and it's not your territory, that's another man's money.
Gosh.
You know what I mean?
So
this guy's like, yeah, this is my second tow truck, and I'm like, what happened to your first tow truck? I got blown up outside my apartment. I was like, and we're sitting in this one, and this is not your area. Like, so like, but yeah, it's pretty hectic. I don't know. I think I just got indulged. Like, I got introduced to the underworld like my first day there.
That's a great story to have. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
That's so much fun.
Good story for your Friday. There's a Canadian story from your Friday. Bro, some of the locals don't even know about the tow truck wars.
I'm going to have to do some Googling to do some research about that. That's hilarious, man. Okay, I want to talk about this EP real quick. Well, not real quick. You ran a promo where people could call into a kind of a hotline, leave a voice message, and they could be in the chance to win $200. The messages people left were pretty out the gate, especially the winner who gave real angry dad or uncle vibes. Were you surprised with how many messages you got, and why do you give it to the angry fella?
Bro, it was funny because, like, bro, there was almost 400 messages that were left, and there were some real good ones, but I just couldn't find, there were so many, I just forgot to record my reaction to, so I just kind of did the first, like, 20 or 30 and just cut it down into a video, and I think out of all of them, something about that one just really, like, made me laugh. It kind of reminded me of, like Jake the Musk and Once We Warriors. So, like, yeah, that's why I gave it to the uncle, and it sounded like he needed the money, too.
He did sound stressed. He sounded very stressed.
But then again, because I was like, is this a reflection of my fan base? And then but at the same time, I was, like, requesting diabolical voice messages, so I kind of got the gist.
You got the good and the bad, the ugly. You know, it's a whole whole community affair, family affair.
That was a good time. It was a good time.
It was so funny. You got angry people. You got people wanting to put their music onto you. You got flirty messages. You got all sorts. It was hilarious.
Yeah, man. There are definitely some ones that I couldn't even post. That's how like kind of out the gate they were.
I'm not surprised. I really like the track Money Calling on this new EP. It features the artist Half Sing, and at the end of the track, towards the end of the track, he goes into a flow where he's like, gotta make that money, man, which is very reminiscent of the Bone Thugs and Harmony track For the Love of Money featuring Eazy-E. I know that you're a Bone Thugs fan. Was that your guidance to Half Sing to get him to do that interpolation, or was that all him?
Yeah. Nah, I kind of gave him the, like, he sorted me the chorus, and then I was like, oh, I really love this chorus. And then at the end, he sent something else, and then it was real similar to that Bone Thug thing. And I was like, oh, bro, that sounds a bit like Bone Thugs. Maybe we should interpolate that song. And then he just sent me that back, and I was just, like, blown away. I was like, oh, yo, this is a vibe. Because, like, at the shows, people already know the song, so then when he sings it, oh, like, when it comes on the chorus, like, oh, at the end, everyone's like singing it, so it's pretty cool. Yeah,
That's so sick, and also really awesome to have him on. I don't think, from what I've seen, he doesn't have a lot of stuff online, so it's really cool to put him out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. Is there any way I can clip this interview and send it to him? He'll be real stoked. He's still underground.
Oh, true. The interview will be posted to Spotify, and then that can be clipped from there if you'd like.
Oh, perfect, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, he'll be real stoked that you're asking these questions. But nah, he's yeah, he's just a youngin' from, like, West, and, yeah, he's got real cool, like, a real cool style. I think he's a lot of his stuff is inspired by Four Bats. Like, that kind of, like, high-pitched kind of modulated vocal thing.
Ah, okay, cool. I have to give that a listen. Yeah. I haven't listened too much to that stuff.
Man.
One thing I really appreciate about this EP is that it's even in the name, Mellow and Bass. It's at the intersection of hip-hop, jungle, UGK, dance, as and you know, it's really, really awesome to see more of that come out. The earliest memory I have of this intersection of hip-hop and kind of electronic music was Bomb Funk MC's Freestyler, which is still a banger. What was the first of this kind of music that you ever heard?
Bro, I reckon the same.
Yeah? Freestyler? Yeah.
I remember I was in primary school, and
What?
Yeah, I got free tickets to the show, and it was an all-ages show, so I ended up going, and then we were right at the front, and then, like, we just waited till after the show, and then I got to meet them. Yeah, it was cool. I think I would have been, like, 6 or 7.
That's so awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Man. So, yeah, that was the kind of... But the thing is, like, with that whole album, I only like 2 songs off that album. The others were kind of just, like, fillers. But that song's, like, legendary.
It is. A little bit of a one-hit wonder vibe, but sometimes that one hit it's a wonder for a reason, right? I just remember that song, the music video for that song would play on C4 all the time. It was a favorite. But I want to talk about an interview you recently did on RNZ, where you talk about how your voice changes in this EP, and the reason why is because you're recording these songs at different times in the day for different reasons. Is there a typical time of day that you like to record? Was that strategic, or is it just kind of happenstance?
Yeah, I think for me, just because I've got a daughter as well, and I like me. We have certain studio days. So like certain days he'll be in, or certain like he'll be in for 1 week, but then I can go in the evenings or vice versa. So like, a lot of it came down to, and I was sick in one of the songs, Lyrical Hypnosis. I had the flu, and like listening back, I wish I could have re-recorded it because I got like a blocked nose and stuff, and you can really, I can notice now. If you listen to it back, you would definitely be like, yeah, I can definitely notice that now. But yeah, I think it's just like, I prefer to record at night. That's when like my voice's vocals are warmed up, and like that's mostly when my inspiration comes through in terms of being creative. But sometimes when you hit the early morning studio sessions, the voice can be a bit deeper.
I've never thought of that before. Yeah, time of day can affect your voice like that, but
especially like because I don't do no warm ups or vocal training or anything. So like, for example, my voice is real croaky at the moment because it's like it's not early, but you know it's just kind of like if I've had a late night or if I wake up in the morning, it's like just deeper.
And there'll be certain reasons we won't get into why. I want to quickly talk about. another passion of yours, because not only are you dropping two projects this year, the one that's dropped and another one, but you're also getting into screenwriting, which I think is awesome. You've said that storytelling skills you've learned in hip-hop are transferable to that medium, to screenwriting. Was that an immediate click, or is it something that you've kind of had to train yourself into realizing?
It's kind of been an evolution of, I guess, my storytelling. And like, because I've been writing since I was like 16, and I've been doing this for a long time now, and so like I feel my next step in terms of like getting my voice heard or other people's voices heard is through screen, especially with the story that I'm trying to tell. It's something that's quite close to home for me in terms of like my upbringing and like some of the boys that I grew up with, and I guess other people that are still going through, I guess, certain pressures and stuff as young people. So like, for me, it's just like a necessary way of telling a story that I feel will have more eyes and impact. And if I could do it, like, to be honest, like the screenwriting is the thing, is cool, but it's just what will get the story out there the most. And I feel like through this kind of like medium, that's the best way to do it, and that's the reason why I'm doing it. So like, it's not like I want to do screenwriting, it's more of like, how am I going to get the story heard the most, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's
but, yeah, that's been cool.
Do you have any like, is this story going to be put to film anytime soon? Is there anything you can say about that?
I can't talk too much on it, but fingers crossed, like everything goes to plan and you'll be seeing some kind of visual from me. But for now, I'm just like really just learning the craft of writing the form, like the language of film, and really just getting these beats right in terms of like moving the story forward and how that looks without using too much conflict. Because I know everyone loves conflict in films, and that's a way that moves the story forward. So just trying to do it in unconventional ways that I feel haven't been seen on screen in New Zealand yet. So yeah, that's kind of exciting for me.
Awesome. Becoming an experimental filmmaker to tell this beautiful story. That's really exciting for 2025, 2026.
Appreciate that, man.
Super exciting. Well, thank you for coming on the program and talking to me about this new EP. Can't wait to listen to it even more. And I wish you all the best with your project. And take care, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you, bro.
Of course. Anytime, man. Anytime. Take care. All right, folks. That was Mellow Downs. We're talking to Mellow about this new EP, Mellow and Bass, which is out now wherever you get your music. It's 10:34 here on the Adju Breakfast program. We're going to play Money Callin' from this new EP. It's a banger. And I love the interpolation of For the Love of Money, or For the Love of Money, by Bone Thugs and Harmony. In fact, we might even play it after. Here is Money Callin' by Mallow Downs and Half Sing. Take care.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.